is stuck in another meeting and should be right along, and I know Senator Farioli is, and they have also said that they'll be here. And the others will be along too. There's Susan Sisson. Okay, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1006. Do you want to read to us the bill and the amendment?
Sure. Senator, a member of the committee, Senate Bill 1006 made testimony on last week, and it's a very that state justice is to be take care of the circuit justice, the principal court, the attorney other than the county that expects them to court. And so the dash one amendment that we have drafted up that was submitted by the Justice Department of Justice, and it clarified some of the which Oregon statutes govern these provisions in the state. These were the very questions and that's the type of work that, and that's the letter of dash one amendment.
Okay, everybody has the dash one?
Yes.
Let me get first. We are in work session, and this was written by the people that introduced the bill.
Right.
Okay.
More, most clarifying.
And was there no? I don't have a fiscal impact statement. Is there? No, fiscal impact. Okay, we're in work session.
Madam Chair, yes. I'll move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 1006, dated 4/22/99.
Okay, is there any discussion? Do you want to look at them a second?
I'm fine.
Okay. Without objection?
Madam Chair,
adopted.
Move Senate Bill 1006 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Okay, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hatfield?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
Aye.
Chair Shannon?
Aye. Okay, having received a unanimous vote, majority moves to approve the due pass recommendation. Is there a volunteer? Okay, Senator George, the trade bill. All right. Let's see. Actually, okay, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 655. Is there anybody trying to help us over here? Okay, Ben, I invite you to, Featherston, would you like to come up and testify? Was there amendments?
Yes, Chair Shannon and members of the committee, during our last meeting, there was some amendments drafted to the dash screen, and this requires the Mount Kansas district boundaries include all the territory of the urban growth boundaries. It does not allow them to alter those boundaries outside of the urban growth boundaries.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
According to my notes, we've already adopted the dash one. I don't know exactly what that means, because apparently we've already amended the bill.
Thank you. I'm Ben Featherston. I live here in Salem, Oregon. I'm legal counsel for the Salem Area Mass Transit District. And simply wanted to let you know that we've reviewed the last three amendments, and those are acceptable to the Transit District.
The dash three?
Dash three, that's correct.
Did the dash three take out the second part of section two?
The dash three amendments refer to the bill as introduced.
Yes.
And it deletes section two of the bill that as introduced.
the whole section too.
And replaces it with new language.
Okay.
Okay.
Madam Chair, back up. Yes. Senator Duke?
Am I correct that we put two limits on it, basically that you have to include at least the urban growth boundary in your district, but does allow you to expand if you should so choose?
Chair Shannon, Senator Duke, that's not my interpretation of the bill.
Okay.
My interpretation of the dash 3 amendment is that the boundaries of the district would be fixed at the urban growth boundaries as they are in effect from time to time, and that the territory of the district could not expand beyond that boundary.
That's what Senator Durfo wanted.
Can I clarify that?
Yes.
We did pass conceptual amendments with the dash 1, which is now with the dash 3, is what we passed for the dash 1.
Because you're 267-107, right? Isn't that the ORS that you're formed under?
Chair Shannon, Senator Duke, that's correct.
It says shall include as a minimum all of the territory within the urban growth boundary. So wouldn't that allow you to go into West Salem, for example, if you should choose to do so?
Our current boundary does include West Salem, because that's within the urban growth boundary. There's another section of the statute that is not in front of you in the bill as introduced or in the dash 3 amendments, and that is ORS section 267.080, which limits the territory of the Salem Transit District.
Okay, but that's what we're amending.
The bill as introduced and the dash 3 amendments do not amend ORS 267.080. And that's the section that would limit our ability to expand.
Okay, so what are we achieving with this one?
What we're achieving with this legislation is, under present law, the boundaries of the district are frozen at the 1990s, at the 1977 urban growth boundary, and since 1977, the urban growth boundary has changed. What the legislation as proposed by the dash 3 amendments would accomplish is to fix the urban growth boundary, to fix the territorial boundaries of the district at the current urban growth boundaries, and then as those boundaries change over time in the future, the district boundaries would conform with the new urban growth boundaries.
You testified last time that the district was interested in being able to expand beyond the urban growth boundaries. Has that changed?
Chair Shannon and Senator Duke, that desire has not changed. At the same time, we feel that we have a need to correct what we believe is a technical problem with existing law.
Okay. Any questions, anyone? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to, okay. Then we are in a work session. I move the dash 3 amendment.
Yes. I guess this is a question of staff. Do we need to undo what we did before?
Because they were just conceptual. No, because these are legal and conceptual. I did that a second.
You're sure they were conceptual? I will cross my dash 1 amended. Oh, but the dash 1s are maybe amended.
Yeah, we crossed that because I said that's what you want to do from the word, too.
Mm-hmm.
We crossed that bit and do yours. And we're going to amend it.
Okay. Is it any identical?
Yeah, I look at my text list.
Okay, so we don't need to adopt it actually.
We need to make it.
We shouldn't be adopting conceptual amendments.
That's what we should have done at the beginning. This is correcting the wrong.
We're going to, how should we say this? Annoy our conceptual passing the dash 3. Okay, is there any more discussion? Is there any opposition to adopting the dash 3, which is the conceptual amendment that we did the other day? Okay. Without objection?
Without objection.
All right. Now, let's see. I can move, can I?
Mm-hmm.
I move Senate Bill 655 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Castillo?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Jones?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
Aye.
Joe Shannon?
Aye. Having passed unanimously, the bill does pass, and I will carry it. Thank you. Well, or if Senator Dorsey doesn't, I will. One of the two of us will. Okay. All right. We need Senator Cannon, or is Meg here, I hope. I don't think our amendments are ready for 1284 yet, so we'll have to reschedule that for a while. She's working on those amendments. Is Senator Yee leaving us? I'm just kidding. Are you going to look for Senator Hannah?
No,
oh, you're going back there. Okay. If you go look at this in hand outside the door, I can see it. Take a soda pop break. That'd be good. We need to.
You go so fast.
That's it. Somebody called Senator Hannah's office.
The hearing deadline has almost been there. It's a Bible
study.
But then to say by the end of the week you have to work to get moving, that's the deadline we've never had before.
Yeah, more beginning. I told you earlier this morning. Can you tell him that we are going to work this bill?
Pain and management bill in one session. He was trying to get welfare reform on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually
Well, I'm going to open a work session on SJR 11. And even though it's a work session, we're going to invite...
He's on his way.
Okay. Greg Wilford, Oregon State Police, Dan McFarlane, Washington County, and Glenn Rader. Would you come up as a panel and explain to us what you've done to this bill? He's on his way.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Captain Greg Williford, Director of the Department of Oregon State Police Uniform Patrol Services Division. And to answer your question, the Department of State Police participated with Senator Hannon at his request in a work group, and there are some dash two amendments for this proposal that were a result of that work group. We met one time last week. And that was with representatives from AAA, from the Help Our Troopers group, and the Oregon Trucking Association, and then the League of Oregon Cities was also there.
And you've talked to Senator Hannon today?
No, I'm sure I have not talked to him at all today.
And what do your amendments do? Did you just say that?
Madam Chair.
Do you have some amendments?
The department has no amendments to the bill. The amendments that are you're aware of, the dash twos, are a result of Senator Hannon's work group.
Okay. All I have is a dash one. Does anybody have dash two?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, who submitted the dash one?
Did you submit the dash one, officer?
Madam Chair, no. The Department of State Police has not submitted any amendments to the bill.
Okay, you want to go ahead? You know who submitted the dash
one? Madam Chair and members of the committee, mm-hmm. I have the dash two amendments that we worked on with Senator Hannon, in the committee.
Is it the best one?
Senator Hammond here now, perhaps.
Great.
He would...
Well, I'd have to take a walk and talk about walking, Madam Chair.
Well, that's wonderful. And we didn't realize that we got through almost all the bills.
I can count, and I know when it's prudent to be present and when it's prudent to be gone.
Yeah. Senator Hammond?
Yes, ma'am.
I wasn't expecting us to be ready today for this one. Early this morning I said we went to...
Yeah, it's up to you.
Oh, let's go. If you're half...
I think all the participants are on board now.
Okay. You know who's offered the Dash One?
The Dash One... I think was... State Police, isn't this your Dash One? This Dash Two replaces it. The Dash Two replaces Dash One.
The Dash Two replaces Dash One. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. We're in a work session, so we're going to do it.
Well, what it does is insert the word policing. So that if you take line 7 of the bill, says Oregon and Chelsea doesn't. This is the wrong one. This is Senator Joy Memorial Lobby. Okay, there you go. Line 7. It inserts policing of public highways, roads, streets, and roadside rest areas in the state. There was a question on, did this apply to only the state police, or does this apply to sheriffs, or does this apply to city police? And it was understood in our work group that by inserting the word policing, if at some future point they wanted to redirect financing to county sheriffs, as an example, they could do so. But the intent is to fund state police policing activities on roads and highways. And so mainly it's a clarification amendment that's needed.
Okay. I want to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how this works in with those 100 new? Is this different from those?
Yes, this will provide about 185 new troopers that were to be voted on in the 2000 year election.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Senator Hannon, when you made the statement that everyone's in agreement, a couple of heads over here nodded no, and I didn't know whether you wanted to hear from them or not.
They'd like to have more.
They're from the county?
I know, they'd like to have more, but bless their hearts, there's not enough room at the end. We can listen to them, but there's a problem with it. Madam Chair, if you want Mr. Kenhaller to come up and make up the county's position for the record.
Senator Hammond?
Yes, Mr. Kenhaller will come up and represent the county's position on this.
While he's coming up, could I ask Senator Hammond a question?
Yes, sir.
Do you have polling or something that indicates that this has a chance of passing?
I have no polling documentation. This has a chance of a snowball chance in Hades. But I do believe that if people are given the alternative, look, we can either come up with additional state police, or we can either keep on the course that we are reducing state police. That's our option. And if you want additional state police, you're going to have to pay for it. A modest increase, we've decided to leave the enabling legislation off at this time and go with this rather than the enabling legislation, because let's get the people to approve the rejection.
Okay.
that they reject that they're telling you to proceed with it.
Could we attach this to an increase in the guest tax?
I don't know, Madam Chair, that's a procedural issue that down my job description.
Mr. Penhallow.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bill Penhallow, representing the Association of Oregon Counties. I don't think it comes as a surprise to any of you that we do not support SJR 11. We have, in past session, opposed any legislation that would open up the trust fund again to other uses than it's currently dedicated for roads and streets. So I wanted to be on record. I realize that this bill is just going through Ways and Means, but I thought it was to be well that the committee was aware of our concerns. We reviewed this bill and a related bill on the House side with our legislative committee about 2 weeks ago. They reaffirmed their position on that issue. I have been discussing this with Judge Pryor, who's in the audience with me today, who's the chairman of our Transportation Committee. We recognize the need for additional state troopers. We recognize the need for additional traffic policing on county roads and city streets, and there's a major funding need here. But we haven't gone quite as far as to opening up the total highway fund to state policing. We would like to continue to work on something that would be very narrow that we could take back to our legislative committee and see if we could get them to support something that would provide funding not only for state police, but where appropriate, at the local level as well. So thank you, Madam Chair, for giving me the opportunity to state our position on the record.
Thank you. Any questions?
Madam Chair, yeah, it's a real issue. Thank you. It's a real issue is that you just feel like there isn't the pot of money is so small to meet all the needs that you don't want to split it even more. Is that basically what you're getting at?
Madam Chair, Senator Castile, I think if you've had the opportunity to look at the Legislative Fiscal Office analysis of our unmet road needs, and you would recognize that the counties are faced this next biennium with an unmet need of in excess of $500 million. And 1 cent of gas tax generates about $25 million. $10 in the registration fee generates about $15 million. So there's a big gap there that even if we were to pass the measure that's before the House at this time, it would only close that gap by a small amount. And we're concerned about diverting these funds then to other uses rather than for the roads. But we recognize the problem. I would be much more supportive of something like the Dash 1 amendments where it identifies the increase to either the driver's license or the vehicle fee than opening it up to the gas tax, the weight mile tax, the vehicle registration fee, the total highway fund. I think you can make a good case for saying that, like we like to say about guns, automobiles don't cause the problem. It's the drivers of automobiles that cause the problem.
Okay.
Madam Chair, can I ask Mr. Penhallow? In 1979, I recall, I believe you were here, when the Senate passed Senate Joint Resolution 7, and it was referred to the voters for the November election 1980, and it was approved because Associated General Contractors put up all the money for the election with the aid and assistance of maybe counties and cities, and they were at the time told, let's take the state police and state parks out of ODOT. There'll always be plenty of funding. And for the last 19 years, the state police and the state parks have been declining in revenue for the last 19 years. I guess the point I'm trying to get to is If this included county sheriffs, you'd be in here doing cartwheels all over the room. But because it doesn't apply to sheriffs, you're not interested in reopening the issue of putting the state police back where they were. And if you want measure or amendment dash one, we can go there, but that jeopardizes your ballot measure that you got sitting over there in the house that creates a $10 registration fee. This is going to go head to head with that. Now, either that one moves or this one moves, but something's going to move. And doing nothing is not an option.
Madam Chair, Senator Hannon, we have representation from the Sheriff's Association on our legislative committee. And the Sheriff's Association was interested in our group supporting something like this. But I think that even with the sheriff included in this, as they would be in the Dash 1 amendment, right now, our position is, and I just have to carry that position forward to you, is that we oppose any measure that would open up the current trust fund. What I was trying to communicate to the committee was that Judge Pryor, who is the chairman of our Transportation Committee, has indicated to me that she would certainly try to take an alternative back to our legislative committee to see if we could get a different position than what we have now. But it would have to be something more narrow than what is reflected in the Dash 2 amendment. But at this point, I have no other message that I can communicate to you other than that our association opposes this. We oppose HGR 1, and we oppose HGR 59.
Madam Chair,
so we're not picking on your bill.
No,
Bill, did I understand you to say that you might be able to support the Dash 1?
We would, Judge Pryor and I were talking about the need to go back and try to deal with this with our legislative committee. I can't guarantee anything, but...
Because the Dash 1s aren't narrower, they're broader.
Dash 1s are narrower from the standpoint of where we raise the revenue. Albeit they apply to, the Dash 1s would just apply to the vehicle registration fee and the driver's license, and would not include the gas tax, would not include the weight mile tax.
I don't know if you've looked in Section 3A, yes. The Dash 1, it's got line 8, any tax levied on with respect to or measured by the storage, withdrawal, use, sale, distribution, importation or receipt of motor vehicle fuel or any other product used for the propulsion of motor vehicles. That to me is gas tax.
Madam Chair,
and
Senator,
if you're wanting this narrow definition, that sure opens it up.
Madam Chair, Senator Hannon, if you turn to page 2 and look at the bold language, it says, if from levies under paragraph B of subsection 1 of this section that may be used for policing, if you refer to 1B, that refers to any tax or excise levied on the ownership or operation and use of motor vehicles. So it doesn't apply to all of the provisions of section 1, which include the gas tax as well. It just applies to the ownership, operation, and use of motor vehicles, which are your registration fees and your driver's license fees and other fees charged relative to operation and ownership.
But it's broader than the Dash 2 in who it can be spent on.
Exactly.
It's city,
it's
city
narrow,
and county police as well.
Madam
Chair, I just ask Senator Hannon a question. I don't see an exact figure on how much the state police would get. Is that just being left then to the legislature to decide later?
That would be an enabling legislation. Originally we had an enabling bill and this SGR to refer it to the voters.
Okay.
It was felt like, let's refer it to the voters first. Let's get their input on, do they want to amend the Constitution to take the state police funding out of highway funding? If they do, then the next session, 2001, would be back here doing the enabling legislation.
Okay, so the vote, we would just send it to those in there.
Madam Chair, I'd like to send it down there, and then we can deal with this. Senator Dukes is on the committee with me, and this is not an attempt to circumvent, but it's an attempt to keep the process moving.
Okay, do you want to adopt the Dash 2 amendment?
I'd rather not adopt either one. I'd rather send the amendments down with the bills, the ways and means.
And just with no recommendation.
That's right.
Okay. Senator Hannon has moved SJR 11 to the ways and means with no recommendation and no amendment. Is there any discussion? The clerk will call the roll. What? Is that all right? Clerk will call the roll.
And sure.
Oh, yes.
Specifically, was this the motion?
The motion is the Senate Joint Resolution 11 unamended to the Ways and Means without recommendation.
Thank you.
Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Castillo?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Yoder?
Aye.
Senator Hannon?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
Aye.
Chair Shen?
Aye. He's not voting. Okay. All right. Having received the majority, it will go to SJR 11. Will go to Ways and Means with no recommendation. Close the work session on SJR 11. And if someone go get Gary George, I think I'll get talking to Senator George.
Are you on 764?
Yeah,
maybe. Well, I'll go for it.
Over you?
Yeah, I go for Ways and Means.
That's correct.
That's the paper for the other one, you see?
Yes.
My other problem is the cost of county.
Fine. Okay.
Have you dealt with that yet?
Yeah, you
can go.
I got.
Are you okay?
Thanks.
Hey, Brady, hang on. Have you done 614?
No.
That's the one
he's here for. That's the one he's here for.
No, Senator George is going to vote with you.
Okay.
614?
Let's put the
United States here. No,
I think we're okay. This is a minority member.
All right, we're going to open a... Okay, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 764. And Senator George and Mr. Atlee, do you want to come down and explain to us about 764 and the work group? Senator George, do you want to go down with Senator Mr. Weeks, or do you want
the
rest of the
week? Oh, all right.
Yeah. Yes, please do. Yes. So last we saw you folks, we had signed a work session, a work group, and we met a group for 2 hours, 2 and a half.
Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Gary Winstra from the Department of Human Resources. And it does seem like a short time ago that you did us this task, and our request, and I want to say once again, we appreciate the fact that you were willing to give us another few days to meet with everyone on this bill. Our hope was to try to get folks lined up and get a bill that you might share in the committee could pass out and that the government would ultimately sign. And so in the last few days, last week, I've met individually with folks, and in the last 2 hours or so, we had a task force meeting in my conference room made up of the AAA, the senior transportation representatives, and other parts of my agency to try to work through this bill and come up with something that would everyone would feel comfortable with, and most important, that you on the committee would feel comfortable with. So Jacqueline was at that meeting, and I'd like to, with your permission, I'm sure, ask her to go over just some of the points. We obviously haven't had time to get the legislative council and get you the legal language and so on like that, but I think the concepts we can lay out for you on them. So if I may turn it over to Jacqueline or...
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Jacqueline Zimmer, and I'm the director of the Oregon Association of Area Agencies on Aging and Disabilities. And the work group that met today is also slightly expanded, but also representative of a work group that has met 3 times previous to today's meeting to go over some of the issues surrounding Senate Bill 764. And so today we reached consensus on a number of things, and also, as the committee directed, created language that would have the Department of Human Resources provide some oversight into the administration of the funds should they be housed at ODOT. So I'll just go through those points with you. One of the first things that we did, though, was we all agreed that we were looking at a $50 million need, but we know that we need at least that $10 million in additional funding that's out there right now for transportation. But we wanted to be clear that that doesn't meet the need. It just addresses some of the need. We also agreed that ODOT should be the principal administrator. The money should continue to be housed at ODOT as it is right now. And I'll get to some points later on about that. And then we have a formula for distributing the new funds. And this would be a formula where the existing cigarette tax dollars would continue to be distributed as they are right now by population. And any new money, 100% of those new monies, would be distributed in a method as follows. If you're in a community with 10,000 persons or less, you would automatically get a base of $40,000, plus there's factor in some money for population, and then plus you get your existing cigarette tax money that you're already getting. So then if you were in a community with 100,000 people or less, you'd get a base of $50,000, plus a percentage of a population factor, plus the existing cigarette tax money that you're already getting. So that addresses, we believe, equitably this issue of rural areas needing more funding than the metropolitan areas. I think everyone had an agreement on that. And then the remaining dollars would be distributed to the other communities just based on population. So the larger areas, more than 100,000 people would get funding just based on population plus their existing cigarette tax. So the existing cigarette tax formula would stay the same, and then we would convert for any new dollars that we get. Under the auspices of accountability, we talked about a statewide advisory committee that would be established with ODOT and the DHR, the director's offices, making appointments to that group, and there would be representation from the various interested groups that are out there right now, the disability community, the senior community, the governor's commission, so on and so forth. And the function of that group would be to advise the directors on the use of any funds and to provide some technical assistance on any rules or policy changes that might be presented and that are related to transportation in the two departments. And then to provide policy advice on interagency coordination regarding transportation. And there's a study being done right now to look at ways to more efficiently and effectively coordinate transportation services, to look at the barriers and to remove those and to see if we can't bring some more efficiencies to the existing system. So they would provide some policy advice on any changes that are being proposed as a result of that work group. So that's the general.
Representative Don Butch. Yeah. What do you think of all this?
Madam Chair, I joined with this committee for the major part of the afternoon. The direction the committee took, or the task force took, is completely different from what the bill reads as it stands now. And I really feel that we have to, as a major sponsor of the bill, to stay with that bill, and I see little reason for it not to be effective. I realize I have a great deal of faith in Mr. Weeks as a department head, and I realize he's not enthusiastic about having this in his department. But I think our group felt that his department better recognizes those people who have the need and discover them and to satisfy that need. I think there are some problems with the original tax money from the cigarette taxes and guaranteeing what goes on in the next biennium, or at least in the next year. I don't believe that those aren't surmountable. I think it could be taken care of. I currently think it's a point well taken.
Okay, I want to ask Senator George. Senator George, do you think we should just send this on to Ways and Means and let them wrestle this out and get the amendments made up, work it out down there or whatever?
Madam Chair, State Senator Gary George, District 2. That's exactly what Bill Fisher and I just talked about. And we felt that we're so far away from having amendments. The bill, when you read it, is really what should happen. Obviously, sometimes you have to compromise. It does have some really terrific provisions in there. The 150%, the 98% must get through to the operation. We have folks in the Department of Health and Human Services are ready to actually do that. I think we should pass the bill that's going to go to Ways and Means, and then I understand the House bill is coming our way, and possibly come up with a good merge of those two bills. But I think the bill is valuable.
Okay.
With the Dash 1 amendments, it does provide a good framework to move from.
Thank you.
Yes.
Senator, the compromise that Mr. Weeks laid out on his definition,
right?
Where does that fit in? Is that part of the House bill? And, where we headed with this, we won't get it compromised.
Madam Chair, Senator Hannon, if I may answer that, we have offered in quickly some language that we think would leave the dollars in ODOT, but would bring about the administration through DHR and ODOT as a partnership, which I think makes a great deal of sense. We purchase transportation services. ODOT provides transportation.
And 90% of the funds go to local providers.
Right. We're still bought in on all the discussion that's gone on, that the money is going to flow to the organizations, and Jacqueline has come up with some, and others have come up with some ideas. And what I understand Senator George to be suggesting is that the bill would be passed out in the form that it was in, but that we would be able to feel comfortable with this committee going forward and offering our amendments to Ways and Means and not defending
this. We're not going to do anything deviant from what the committee
said. I'd like, Senator and Madam Chair, for us to be able to work on the language of the amendments,
sure,
and present those to Ways and Means, and to come back to the sponsors and present those, and then try to work it with Ways and Means, if that's agreeable.
Is that agreeable with you, Don? Okay.
Going up with this work. All right. Then, were the Dash 1s already adopted?
Madam Chair, could we do the similar thing to what we did with my Senate Joint Resolution, not adopt any of them, and send them along with the bill to Ways and Means? Because I want to help Senator George try to get his concerns addressed in there.
With no recommendation.
Senator Yee and Senator Dukes, myself, are on the subcommittee.
Okay, the only thing is that Senator George had specifically said send it on with the Dash 1. What about that?
Oh, you want the Dash 1?
Right. That was an idea that we thought would fit in there, at least communicate that this is a reasonable thing to do. And the Dash 2s were part of a compromise. The compromise was rejected, so we'd just like Dash 2 to go away. So, Madam Chair, should I go ahead and move?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments, known as LC 2268 for 1999, to Senate Bill 764.
Do you have those amendments, Madam Chair? I found them in my bill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was in my bill file. Ah, there we go. Oh, she found it. Okay. Do you want to just briefly tell us what the Dash 1 did, Will?
Just a real short summation. It allows a district that may, a school district that would want to participate in this, who might have equipment that would be available, to actually participate in the process. That's a very simple way to view it. It says, on line 15, the Department of Human Resources shall cooperate with the State Board of Education to promote efficient use and appropriately equipped equipment. The idea is there's no use duplicating equipment. School districts could opt in or opt out. They weren't being required to do this. Yeah, I think that's where that ended.
Wait a minute. I have a little bit of problem here. I don't mind if it's those buses where people need wheelchairs, but I don't want to turn the little yellow school bus in for every, and I, Those are for kids, in a way.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Sure, I had the same problem. He had all these little, small school vans.
Right. No, that wasn't the intention.
So the vans are okay, but not the big buses, because that's the people with the 21st century school. That's what they want, all of the people to be able to ride to the school, which they'll now name the Community Resource Center. It just happens to have education, but they have drug counseling, work counseling, employment, and all that. I think that the school buses, it should be, we should do something here. I'll tell you the line I'm not comfortable with, just a second, where it says, the use of the appropriate for activity vehicles for transportation for disabilities is not defined. On line 5, disability is not defined. On 18, it is not defined. And on 23. Because if they go to the mental health, if that's a disability, that's a problem.
Well, I think there's a point in which we may not want to micromanage this, because what we're saying is that on line 3 it says that we shall encourage the interdependent use of these resources. Then comes back down and talks about the efficient use of appropriately equipped school buses in line 21, 22, activities, and it says that devising and indicating that the governing bodies are going to be working together. And if they can't work together, the school district's not forced to do this. So the boards, administration will make a decision as to whether they want to participate. This came about because of the fact that some of our jurisdictions may have this equipment in the school fleet, which isn't operating over during good parts of the day, who might actually be able to be participants in a coordinated program then to offer during the period of time where the children are in school or after hours the use of that bus for pay, because they would receive compensation for the moving of disabled or transit-dependent seniors. But it would be their decision to make that call.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I just want to remind people that school buses are designed for school trips.
Right.
They, for good reason, there's no seatbelts in those things. I mean, they are physically designed to protect children in case of an accident. Not frail, disabled, elderly people.
And the liability, it opens up the school.
Oh.
And I
are we paying 70% of the transportation cost?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right. I'm not a real fan of the dash bar myself.
Madam Chair, I'm not vested in this. What we were trying to do was to provide every opportunity available. I mentioned this to a couple of districts who said, yeah, we might be interested in that. And so there's no interest in my part of this. So if you want to make it go away, it's fine with me. It can be added later if they want to come in and support it. So far we haven't had that, and we just did this in response to what we thought might be another mechanism to add appropriate equipment to the inventory without purchasing $50,000 vans. Because a van equipped to move a disabled person can cost that much money.
Well, I don't read the word van. So let's just send the bill.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
I would move Senate Bill 764 to the Ways and Means Committee. Unamended.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
With no recommendation.
No recommendation, yes.
Madam Chair, I'm not comfortable doing that because I don't support the bill as is. I would prefer that we change and adopt amendments that coincide with the work of the work group, because I thought that they reached a great compromise there. I understand.
That's what we're going to try to do.
That's what they're going to do down there.
And what it means is accept the recommendation of the working group. That's why I asked Mr. Butch if they'd be willing to work together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Senator,
I hope that's what happened.
Well, Senator Castillo, part of my in and out was we pulled Senator Fisher, who is a sponsor, from another committee, and they all had a little conference out here. And they've been working, and the agreement was to go forward with the working group, but we just want to, Friday's our deadline. We just want to take the bill down to Ways and Means. And I think that you understand our concerns.
Yes, ma'am.
much.
We aren't going to deviate from what the intention of the committee is.
Okay, thanks. Okay, then the clerk will call the roll. The motion is moved to waive the means with no recommendation, with no amendment. Okay. Clerk will
I will vote no, but I respect the efforts that will come forth in the future to correct this bill.
And you reserve the right to vote yes?
Yes, I do. After I see the final version.
There you go. Okay. George,
Senator.
Aye. Having seen the majority, it goes to ways and means, with no recommendations and without amendment.
Sure. May I work with the committee administrator and ledge counsel to the
amendment? Yes, please. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, you can. Okay, thank you. Mr. Sayoli, you can't go far. You need to go right now. Okay. And then we're going to finish for the day. Okay, thanks. You can leave, Senator. Okay. We're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 614. And we do have some amendments. Senator Yee. Senator Yee, are you going to talk about the bill measure?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we are at the -8 amendment.
Oh, the -8. Okay.
The -8. This includes everything we looked at last week. In addition to the very last section, Section 4 has, at the request of Senator Yee, that the Department of Transportation shall consult with persons from the Division of Audit of the Office of the Secretary of State and persons from the State Controller's Division.
It's at the very bottom of the page, on page 3, and it's its own section, so that after this has been developed, it would be easy to go into housekeeping and delete it. It's its own section, section 4, and it would be easy to take it out.
Yes. Madam Chair, after the system was developed, the plot came go up.
Yes, that can go up as it's developed. Okay?
I have a question regarding this amendment. Why person from Division of Audit? Why not director from Division of Audit?
Because he has so many auditors to work over, that to work with and to, you know, manage, that maybe he would like to send one of those. The one that actually audits transportation, for instance.
Yes. Well, I mean, the director should concur with the recommendation rather than the person.
Well, Senator Yee, I appreciate that, but I want to send this bill, and I need to deal with that. Does this go any place besides the House?
Okay.
No fiscal impact. Mm-hmm. Would you please talk to the director? We can amend, but then we have to bring it back again.
The only thing we need to bring it back anymore is we just amend it by saying consult with director from the Division of Audit and director.
You want to change the vision, person from director?
The word director. Mm-hmm. Because I think once a good accounting system is developed, all the other departments probably would want to use it also.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Can I ask a real quick question?
Oh, sure. Come up, Mr. Marsh.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Marsh, this morning you were asked about this bill, in particular in the Senate, or in the Joint Ways and Means Committee, Transportation, and you said you're going to invoke... You said you're going to invoke Cost Accounting regardless of whether this bill passes. What kind of language do you need in a bill that complies with something you said you're going to do anyway? Mr. Marsh indicated that ODOT's going to develop a Cost Accounting plan whether this bill passes or not. Why don't we put it in the bill and have him give his ideas on how he wants to approach this, and then we can put it in the statute.
Then, because that's what we have been doing, we've been meeting. We saw the next 5 times with Senate, with Mike Marsh on this in groups, and with Mr. Pitt, and with
Latimer. We've met many times, maybe even 6 or 7, because that's why we're up to the dash 8, because we're trying to, I don't want us to put anything in here that's finished. Because they're going to have to do the work. If they don't agree with, they've had a lot of time to guide us and turn us and mix us and encourage, you know, language. So it's actually important as it's written right now, don't you?
Madam Chair, we don't have concerns with it. What I was trying to communicate in Ways and Means this morning is that we're committed to doing it, and we just like to make sure the bill allows us to implement what we think we need to be doing to meet your needs and not get confused with project reporting or some other issues. So to answer the Senator's question directly, yes, we don't have a problem with the bill as it stands. As far as working with the Division of Audits and the State Controller's Division, we will work with those people. I want to ensure Senator Yee understands our commitment to do so, whether it says persons or not. We'll work with them. And the fact is that I already have talked with Jim Pitts about issues regarding this, and they are not given leeway as auditors to make commitments about where things are alone. They have to have approval from a supervisory chain of command. So I think it would, in essence, be the same thing to have it say the persons as well as the director, but it's up to the committee.
And we're not at cross purposes. We're working together, wouldn't you say?
Madam Chair, we're working together within the bill as it stands now, yes.
As you made amendments, you're comfortable with that?
We're comfortable with this. We can implement this, and I believe the Division of Audits can audit this.
Now, one question I would have, there is no emergency clause, so it's not going to take effect until 90 days after the legislature adjourns. In section, I didn't say which year, section 3 and section 4 of the amendment look like they're alluding to a time of implementation because it requires quarterly reports to the E-Board or to any other legislative committee designated by the Senate President and Speaker. My question is, do you want a time frame put in here for implementing this, or do you want it to exist that it takes effect on the
Well, I think we talked about the YTK, and they asked us not to make it a time frame.
Okay.
Did we talk about that? Yeah.
Madam Chair, that's correct. We are committed to coming back to the next session with the system complete, but I want to report to you how we're doing along the way. We could put a time frame in here, but...
No, that's fine.
Yes. No.
Are we in a workshop?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I would move the Senate Bill 614-8 Amendment stated for 2199.
Okay, Senator George, were you going to say something about
Yes,
that?
To the committee administrator, I'm looking back through all the pile of stuff here on this, and it looks like under Section 2, the list of following units is completely different than what we had been looking at earlier, and I was just wondering, this just actually looks like not a Cox County system, but just a program budget. Could you tell me what? Under dash 8. Yeah.
Section 2.
Yeah, the whole list starting with A and line 18.
Uh-huh. Can I answer that? Mm-hmm. I think that what the meat of this is in the amendments, dash 8, lines 2 to 6. It says, whereas the legislative assembly intends that the Department of Transportation implement an accurate and full cost accounting system that provides for assembling and recording all the elements of cost incurred to accomplish a purpose, carry on activity or operation, or complete a unit of work or specific job.
Lines 15 and 16 make a similar statement, and that's what I wanted to get that on the record.
Oh, good. Then that's what this whole thing is, a full cost accounting as defined in Accounting 101. We've gone over that, and we just decided that we wouldn't put it all in here. Yes.
A follow-up question.
Sure.
Mike, you probably saw in the Oregonian, I believe it was Sunday, the breakdown of the Hawthorne Bridge, and they gave a $21.8 million cost on that. And I understand it's actually going to be more than that. When I was taking on that tour, we saw that bridge. With this system, would we have to be able to pull out the dollars that we participated in on the Hawthorne Bridge?
would we know how much those other structures that hang out on the outside of that bridge cost now?
Madam Chair and Senator George, I'm not sure the outer structures that the Senator is referring to, but in terms of identifying our administrative costs, our indirect costs, and our direct costs that will be part of that structure, the answer is yes.
Okay.
It's probably bike council.
Yeah.
I think that's what he was talking about. Okay. Okay, just a
On Section 4, original my request is consulted with Division of Audit Office, Division of Audit Office of Secretary of State, and the State Controller's Division. Is the committee amenable to taking out this person's form? Because when you talk about the office, it implies as the director. But when you say person's form, it could be the deputy director.
I'm sure we'd be happy. You just want to delete two words?
Yes, delete the person's cost. Because
okay.
I think once we develop a good system, other departments can use it.
Okay.
And I also want to make sure it's uniform with other kinds of systems that's already developed.
Sure.
So
okay.
I think if we delete that, it implies it's the director who's responsible.
Okay.
I have a concern about Section 3. I'm just wondering, Mike, how difficult is that going to be for you to do at least quarterly reports to the Emergency Board or to any other legislative committee? Are you guys going to be having one person full-time doing these reports? Sounds like a lot of reporting.
Madam Chair and Senator Castillo, what we understood was on the legislative record is not necessarily a full-scale emergency board report, but rather an update that would be done in writing without having to go through the process of the emergency board items, which does take quite a bit of time. And assuming that's still on the record, and Senator Hannon, who probably would be on the emergency board, as well as others here, understand that, then our intent would be to submit updates but not have to go through the appearance process.
A lot of reports, Madam Chair, are just written reports.
Okay.
They're not really in-depth things.
We've been very reasonable acquiring things of each other.
Madam Chair,
I'm curious. It says on page 2, for each product or service, the system shall show separately the amount of payments made to outside contractors. It goes on to say the products and services which you're going to...
Where are you, Senator?
On page 2, line 8.
Okay.
And then it goes on to sort of say products and services include but are not limited to the following, which goes on for a while. On page 3, line 4, it says payments to local governments, which includes payments to cities, counties, and metropolitan planning organizations. Does that mean you're going to reach down into the local governments to determine who they are doing private contracts with, or outside contractors they are hiring?
Madam Chair and Senator Dukes, no, we are not going to be in a position to be able to determine what the local governments are doing with their funds.
What relevancy does that have, then, to the other...
Let me make sure, Madam Chair and Senator Dukes, the last reference you have is under special programs, or is it...
Well, no, I was getting there, but payments to local governments on line 4.
That's what they do now, though.
Which is a sub under... Number 2, and says specifically, for each product or service, and that is defined as a product or service, the system shall show separately the amount of payments made to outside contractors.
Madam Chair and Senator Dukes, we're interpreting the wording there to mean that our payment is not to a contractor, it is to the local government.
And the local government would not be considered a contractor either?
Madam Chair and Senator Dukes, no, for payment.
Okay.
We included it there strictly because there are members that wanted to make sure that we had recognition of that. It is not part of the contractor program, but we feel like it would not hurt our system to at least indicate as part of the cost accounting what is going to the cities and counties. It is not something we can do direct, indirect, and administration on, though, and I want to make sure we're clear about that. That's a payment by that entity to their contractors that we would not track. Secretary of State does audit those functions directly.
Well, it's in a section that talks about accurately account for all direct, indirect, and administrative costs, and then goes on to talk about payments to outside contractors.
And Sheriff Senator Duke, we interpret that as meaning our payments. We do not make a payment to a contractor.
Okay. Then get down to line 8, special programs. I guess I'm curious as to what all you're going to get. Not limited to bicycle and pedestrian facility projects, environmental services, and salmon and watershed projects. So if you give money to, grant money to a watershed council to do some work along one of your highways, that would show up?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, yes.
Okay. What would you anticipate under environmental services?
We have several different types of contractors and services that we contract with in order to do things that relate to environmental issues, and we want to make sure that those are shown as part of a project that might be done. So it would be generally contractors and work that they do, and would show whether it's a direct cost, an indirect cost, or an administrative cost.
Can I anticipate that if we didn't do this bill, that you would be, under this new system you're going to set up, would be able to pull out all outside contracts that you account for them?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, yes. I can't think of an example where there would be an issue of not being able to pull that out.
Okay. Madam Chair, I guess maybe this is the first time I can ever remember telling an agency to do something that they were already going to do and were part way down the road doing.
Okay, so I'll just tell you why we're doing this. Because last summer it was going to be, the first time we started talking about it, I think actually it was January last. When did you go to work for ODOT?
August.
Well, anyway, it was going to be, one of the times it was going to be finished by this February. And when session started, then it was February, and then in January it was going to be finished by July. And all this does is say, I'll be happy when it's all set up, if, you know, if we're around and it is going to take it out of the statute. But I just think it makes it, you build a fence to stay friends with your neighbors. It just puts it down there what we're going to do, and we believe they're going to do it. It's just a nice little deal.
But there's still no deadline, so they could still be here in 2001 and say,
well, no,
we didn't have the money, this happened, that happened. I mean, I trust them to do it, but...
Well, he also said that it would be in our full operation by the next biennium, if I heard right. We're just not pushing around the first of the year. When do you expect to be finished?
Madam Chair, I can give you the timeline, but the bottom line is that we will have all the information in to begin tracking on this information on January 1st, 2001. So that the system is in place.
It seems to me of all the things not to trust an agency on, this is not one of them. I mean, they've already begun. I can't imagine them swimming around now and saying, no, we're not going to go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Madam
Chair? That's why it's been such a pleasure to work with them, because we're all waiting to work with
them. Not to mention the money that we're taking out, it's not out of the general fund.
No, to run
this thing through, it could be going for students or something.
Well, just a second. They want more money, and until we feel comfortable with where the money has been going in the past, it's been quite a thing just to get the figures to repair the 8 miles. Just to get the figures. And they need a system. That's when it all came up. It matters. They need a system because it's been too frustrating, and we need to build the trust between us and ODOT, and this is a good way to do it. So it's just a completion of the task.
You know, we started. So I think we're penalizing them for past history before they changed their system.
Madam Chair,
I think
Senator Joe's been trying to say something.
Madam Chair, I think we're all maybe haunted, some of us at least, by July of last year when this question came up, and Senator Chin said, well, 15 years ago, we were told that this was going to occur, and it didn't occur. And I think that's more than enough reason for me to move the J8 amendments with the notation on page 3, line 19, to remove persons from, as suggested by Senator Yee. So, Madam Chair, I do do that.
Line 20, too.
On line 20, awesome. 19, take Secretary of State, just persons
the
from,
third,
and
the fourth words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 19 and 20, okay?
All right, it's been moved. Well, we have another question. Go ahead, I want you to ask.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a fiscal impact in developing a accounting system, a cost accounting system?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, we feel that there's no fiscal impact on this measure because it's within the lines of what we plan on doing at this point. So as long as the bill is in this state, we consider there to be no fiscal impact.
Another question. Are you going to buy new computers to implement the new system?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, we have employees already on board that are doing the work for this, and we have the funds budgeted for a what we call least cost implementation, which does not involve a purchase of significant hardware. So we believe we can implement within this. I think Senator Yee knows about our state financial management system connection. That's really another matter. We'll be looking at that next biennium to look at the broader accounting system.
Okay, is that it? I'm not going to ask three more questions. All right. Is there any discussion on the dash eight, with those two words taken out on lines 19 and 20? Okay, without objection, we will amend the dash eight amendment. As amended.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 614 as amended to the floor.
Okay, any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Castillo?
No.
Senator Reeves?
No.
Senator Curiel?
Aye.
Senator Hill?
Aye.
Senator Hannah?
Aye.
Senator Reeves?
Aye.
Senator Hannah?
Aye. It passes with a majority. I will carry the bill. Thank you. And if there's no further business, we'll meet tomorrow night. We have a half an hour here. Thank you, everybody. So we're no further business. We'll adjourn till tomorrow night. 6 o'clock. Thank you.